Welcome to Unfiltered Faith, Beyond the Church Walls, real talk for real life. We're diving deep into the foundation of our faith, exploring the truth of God's word and how it applies to everyday life.
We're going to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word so that we can learn about all that you are and all that you want us to do. So today we ask that you would just speak to our hearts and reveal to us whatever it is that you want to reveal to us. And today is a deep topic, Lord. So just please, you know, give us wisdom and knowledge and just bless this podcast so that it can reach others. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Evelyn and I'm here with Crystal and Amy. We're tackling one of the most important topics of the Foundation series, which is the resurrection of the dead. This is not some side doctrine or fancy theology. As you know, we're going through Hebrews 6, which is elementary principles. This is like the Christianity of 101. If we don't understand resurrection, we don't really understand our faith. And we talked about that a lot last night, girls, where we said basically without resurrection, like there is no Christianity, right? Yeah. There's no faith.
Paul says faith without it is futile.
Exactly. But the Bible says resurrection is central to our hope. So let's make it practical and personal. If you could ask just one thing about what happens after death, what would it be? And that was a question I asked the group last night. So we'll get into some of what they had to say. But Crystal, let me start with you. What do you have to say about that?
So for me, it was a couple things. It was, will I know and recognize my family? And also, what will my relationship look like with those I love the most, especially my husband and my daughter?
It's funny because there were several of us who actually talked about that. And I know like Lena had talked about like it was important. She thinks about you and her both have young ones. Yeah. And so it's like, well, if the Lord took us today, you know, I don't know. What'd you say? Like, I only have a couple years with Riley.
And that's, you know, because like, you know, I don't know if I'm not going to talk about her life personally, but, you know, a lot of people know that she struggled. Mm-hmm. So like her baby is her daughter's a gift to her. I feel the same way about Riley. You know, we wait all this time. We're blessed with them.
Yeah.
And then the Lord's like, okay, let's go. I'm coming from my church. And it's like, I had my baby girl for like 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't get the chance to watch her grow up. Like you just, as a mom, you just feel, I feel like I would just be so short. I would be missing so much, but that's because I don't understand, you know, what it's going to look like what she's going to be like. Yeah. I know heaven is glorious. It's beautiful. It's anything more than we could ever think and imagine. But still like just that mama heart, you're like, man. And I know you've mentioned like, I'm just going to come to the conclusion that Layla doesn't have a future. Like you mentioned that before.
The Lord's coming in. Yeah. It's all going.
I'm like, Jesus is on his way. I don't even picture her wedding. Her, you know what I mean? And that's a little easier though. She's almost 14.
Right.
So she has gone through a lot of milestones I won't be her mom, I guess, but I believe that we'll be with the people we love and
absolutely.
I trust that God, when he says that it's going to be good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So mine was about pets. I was that person. I was like, will I see my dogs and cats from the past? And so I wanted to look into it because we talked about it last night. So Isaiah 65:25 says, the wolf and the lamb will feed together and the lion will eat straw like the ox. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. And then Romans 18:19-22 says the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. So Paul says all of creation will share in the renewal. So that includes the animals.
Absolutely. You know? And we did talk about that at length last night. And that's exactly, and we did bring up that scripture you talked about. We didn't have it like ready to hand, but we could remember enough of it that it's like, well, my kids, whether they're old or young or whatever, we're going to be laying with the lions. We're going to be like walking up and feeding them. Crystal, you're going to be in your glory right there.
Yeah.
Being able to feed the lions.
Animal videos I sang, Crystal.
Yes. It's a back and forth thing. And that's
because we love animals.
Right. And that's it. For the people who don't think that there will be animals in heaven, it's kind of a hard thing to swallow because God created them.
Right.
Actually, animals were one of the first things he did create after he created light and the heaven and earth. Like
created
animals
for us.
Were. Yeah, he created animals before us. So why would he not animals in his kingdom? He created them. He loves them. He loves us more, but he loves his creation.
Absolutely.
And I say that would include animals.
Yeah. And I think the only reason people think, which we talked about this last night, that animals can't go to heaven is because they can't be saved.
Right.
They can't put their faith in Jesus, but there's not a moral expectation of them to be saved.
True.
Like there's not for a tree, you know,
Right.
So I think that I'm going to choose to believe that my pets will be there.
Yeah, that's right.
And I thought about that song, So Will I. It talks about the rocks bowing, mm-hmm. the stars. Like if we don't worship, these things will.
Yeah.
So I have to believe so that animals worship in their own way.
He created them for a reason.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So those are the exact kind of questions the resurrection answers.
Yeah.
The Bible is specific, and so we're going to really get into that right now.
So let's begin in Hebrews 6, 1 through 2. I know we've discussed that scripture in length. Where the writer lists six foundational doctrines, and one of them is the resurrection of the dead. And that's huge. That means this is not optional. It is essential. Now, Paul takes even further in 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. Everything stands and falls on the resurrection. Christianity collapses without it.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. If Jesus didn't rise, then everything we believe is a lie.
It's true.
And there's no hope.
Right.
Because if he didn't rise, we don't rise, and we are stuck with this broken world,
mundane life that we live here.
That we live in. Yeah. And, you know, when people are really going through hardship and they're not Christians, I'm just like, how do you do it? There's no hope if you don't have Jesus. So the resurrection is the guarantee of ours. And in 1 Corinthians 15:20, Paul calls him the first fruits, which I think is really interesting because, of course, he's the first one of us. But the first fruits of the harvest, like, I don't know, back in ancient times, definitely, and I would assume now, too, is like the best of the batch, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of like, Christ is
it's everything, right? So when we were talking and we're studying the older scripture and stuff like that, they always brought the first, and that's even when you talk about tithing and everything, it's always the first. The sacrifices are always your first and your best.
And your first child got, you know, the inheritance.
Okay, we have Riley with us today, if you can't tell in the background, so bear with us. If we only have hope in this life, Paul says, we're to be pitied. But because of the resurrection, we know death is not the end. Thank God it's a doorway to heaven.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the foundation. Again, Christianity without resurrection is powerless. It's a powerless religion. So now let's look at the promises. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, Amy, do you want to pull that up? We're going to read that.
Yeah.
It's one of the most comforting passages in the Bible.
So it says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, which they mean dead, mm-hmm. that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, though Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Boy, Paul loves a run-on sentence.
Yeah, he does. So it's funny. So this is why funerals, I think, for believers are feel different. I mean, if you've ever gone and you are comforted and knowing that like when I go to a funeral and I know that that person knew the Lord, it's comforting, right? Yeah. Even though you grieve.
Yeah.
It's not saying goodbye. You know, it's goodbye for now, but I'll see you again. So to me, that's very comforting.
I actually had a question for you guys. Like, just kind of interesting. So recently, my uncle died, and we were at the funeral, and a lot of people there who are not Christians were like, "Oh, well, we'll see him again in heaven. We'll see him again someday." And it's like, that is obviously not the moment to be like, "Well, actually."
Are you sure about
Right. But
that?
it also seems so like you just want to point out to them, like, okay, but why do you believe that?
Right.
Like you.
Right. But don't you think when I hear that, because I've heard that just like you from people that I
Yeah.
know that are not walking with the Lord or who truly are like, yeah, agnostic, I'm not sure what I
Yeah.
believe kind of thing. I honestly believe it's because the Lord, we know deep in our soul, like the Lord
Right.
is there, the Holy Spirit is deep within us, like He created us. We are
Yeah.
His. I just think we know deep in our soul that the truth.
Yeah.
And at some point, He's going to release those veils off of their eyes. You know what I'm saying? When it's
Yeah.
their time. So when I hear that, that's what I think of. Well, the
Yeah.
Lord just hasn't gotten a hold of them yet. He's obviously knocking at the door, or they wouldn't be saying stuff like that,
Right, yeah.
right?
We have
Because
the
they're
longing for heaven in
that's
us.
true. Because there are some people who are quite the opposite, who would have no problem mocking the Lord. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
So I've
that's
seen
true.
both. I've seen where people mock, like, yeah, all of you, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think those people who say stuff like that that you know don't believe yet,
Like maybe there's hope.
there is
Yeah.
always hope,
There's
right?
hope,
But
yeah.
it's because you know that the Lord's working on them,
Yeah,
right?
that
That's what I
yeah.
like to believe. I don't know. What do you got? Anything crystal to
No,
that?
I kind of going back to I think the same thing. And when you talk about like people mocking God, it reminds me of my not so Christian friends who decide that on Easter they're going to talk about like, oh, happy zombie Jesus Day. And I'm
Oh,
like,
yeah.
bro.
Actually, it's so cringy, isn't it? I'm like,
Yeah.
I like in that instant, you just want to pray for him, like, Lord, forgive. Just like what Jesus
Yeah.
said on the cross, Lord, forgive them,
And
for they
I'm
not know what they
right
say or
here. I'm
do.
like, oh, please
Because
just
you're like,
touch their
the more,
heart.
yeah, because,
Yeah.
the Lord won't be mocked for long. You know what I'm
No.
saying?
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's true.
Let's move into John 5, 28 through 29. This shows the scope of resurrection when Jesus said, "A time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned."
Yeah.
So resurrection is for everyone, the righteous to eternal life and the wicked to eternal judgment, which we'll actually be diving deeper into eternal judgment next week. So that will be a good one. So if you
Yes.
can join us.
Yeah, maybe pre look into this verse a little bit, see what
Right,
commentary
exactly.
says.
Yeah.
So I love the picture that Paul gives of a seed in the ground. It looks like death, but really it's a transformation. When we
Yeah.
bury a believer, it's like planting a seed, and at the resurrection, God will raise it up into something greater. And it's also sobering and motivating at the same time. Resurrection isn't just hope for believers, but it's accountability for the world. Everyone will stand before God. Eternity is not optional,
That's right.
and
Yeah.
that makes the gospel urgent.
It's true.
That's right. Wow, that image gives us so much hope. We shouldn't fear death because for the believer, it's not the end. That's why the doctor matters. It's not just comfort. It calls us to be ready, the readiness. And then the Bible talks about the readiness of the virgins and the keep your lamps, your oil in your
Yeah.
lamps. If we're in Christ, resurrection is joy. If we reject him, resurrection is judgment. And like Crystal said, we're going to really get into that resurrection of judgment next week in the John Bevere and Lisa Bevere study. But
Yeah,
either way, it's
true.
guaranteed. So let's answer some of the questions that we talked about earlier that we started with, as well as some of the stuff from last night.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that was, what will we look like in heaven? And we discussed that at length. And I know we'll have glorified bodies. Paul
Yeah.
said that in 1 Corinthians. And I'm not going to read all the scripture, but I'm going to give you guys the scriptures to look up for yourselves. Oh, and we forgot to say it, girls.
What?
We are not a replacement for the Bible. So
Oh, yeah,
please,
no.
as we're giving you this scripture,
Oh, yeah.
this is our disclaimer, as we're giving you scripture, go look it up for yourself, read it, because the Lord will reveal to you whatever it is He wants you to get in this moment, right?
It's
Yeah.
true.
So, what will we look like in heaven? So we discussed that a little bit last night. We'll have glorified bodies. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 45, through 44. Perfect glorified bodies, which I love that because it's like no more
Right.
disease, no decay, all that good stuff, right?
Right.
We will be recognizable. The disciples recognized Jesus after the resurrection, And that's in Luke 24 and John 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will shine with glory. And Philippians 3, 20 to 21 says, Christ will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. And you can look up Daniel 12, verse 3, which talks about that the righteous will shine like the brightness of the heavens. We will be like God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
We will be ageless, which is so
Amen.
Wonderful.
Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Whole and eternal. So we'll have no more aches, no more disabilities, no more wheelchairs, glasses, hearing aids. Isaiah 35, 5 to 6 says, God's kingdom, the eyes of the blind shall be opened,
yes.
The ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer. So in heaven, everyone is whole.
Praise yes. God.
John's vision in Revelation 7:9 saw every nation, tribe, people, and language before the throne. That means our redeemed selves still reflect the beautiful diversity of God's creation, but without division, prejudice, and pride. Every culture perfected and worshiping together. So just talk about glorified bodies, or just reminds me of our discussion last night when we talked about what happens to people who have been cremated, or babies who have been aborted, or children who died at a young age. Like, what does their glorified bodies look like?
Yeah.
You know, are their children in heaven? Are they adults? Like, it's just, you know, there's
so many
we
questions,
don't know,
right?
Yeah.
Well, and so after our discussion, I went back and looked up some stuff, and we talked about 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44. The Bible doesn't describe baby bodies in heaven.
Right.
Because resurrection isn't about age. It's about transformation. Every believer, regardless of how old or what age they are when they die, are given a glorified body. And that's, you can find in 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44. That means an aborted baby or a child who dies young will not be, quote unquote, frozen in time, in age and eternity.
Yeah.
They'll be raised into the fullness of what God intended them to be, whole, mature, and perfect. Without effects of sin or fallen world, David, mourning his infant son, said, I will go to him. And that's in 2 Samuel 12 through 23. That means David expected real recognition and reunion, not with a baby who stayed a baby, but with the fullness of the person God created, which I think that's that's like makes you feel good, right?
Yeah.
Because I've known, like, I had a best friend who died when we were in eighth grade.
Right.
So I believe that I will recognize her. She's my best friend. I believe I'll recognize her as a person, whatever age she'll be in heaven, even though I remember her as, you know, an eighth grader, you know?
Right.
So I think that's cool. And then what about the creation? We talked about, I said, well, dust, God says, you know, you came from dust and you'll return to dust. So again, and we kind of chuckled about this because we asked these questions. It's like, well, if you're cremated, which we did ask, what will that look like? Well, we serve an amazing God.
Yeah.
Of course he can take us and put us in.
I picture it the same way I picture the dry bones coming together.
Yeah.
Like you just raise up and form into like a person.
And, and to be fair, I mean, Adam was made from dirt.
That's it.
We're, you know, exactly.
So, and this is going to go into also kind of what Lisa Brevere said last night, but let me start with this. It says, Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 15, 37 through 38, then what? You plant a seed, the plant that comes up looks different, but it's still connected. Cremation or decay doesn't limit God. If he spoke the universe out of nothing, he can call a new incorruptible body from ashes, dust, or even scattered atoms. And didn't you like how Lisa Brevere said it last night? She like brings out an apple seed.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Remember that?
Yeah.
Right. And she said, I can't bring in the whole tree. So you take this apple seed and then she brings in the apple.
Yeah.
But you can vision that, right?
Yeah.
So we don't know what we, you know, what our seed looked like, but here we are. We're this person. So I think God's going to do the exact same.
Yeah.
What else we got? Anything there?
No, just like a lot of chuckling of, we're hoping that if we go back to, you know, Adam and Eve time, right? In the garden, be like, we're going to be naked. Talk about like, hopefully our glorified bodies are.
Yeah. Hopefully we won't care.
Yeah.
Because I certainly would care today.
So we had just a lot of fun just talking about all these things last night.
Yep.
And think about after the resurrection, you think about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that would be the proof that we have of how we're going to be after, right? Because he was the first fruit, so we'll follow.
Right.
So he ate fish with his disciples. He walked with them. They recognized him, but he could appear in locked rooms. So that's our real tangible body, but glorified and eternal.
Right. Yep. That's good. And another question that we discussed at pretty much length, I think, last night is, will we be with Jesus immediately when we die?
Yeah.
And I think, yes, we are. The Bible's really clear that when a believer dies, they go straight into the presence of Jesus. No waiting, no limbo, no spiritual sleep drifting around. So we're going to walk through it. So Jesus himself promised when the thief on the cross, if you remember when he had on the cross, he tells the thief next to him, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. And you'll find that in Luke 23:43. And you can see it doesn't say someday down the road or after you wake up, it's today.
Right.
Yeah. And then Paul confirms it. And he got more revelation about heaven than anyone.
That's true.
And he said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then in Philippians 1:23, he says, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's about as plain as it gets. The moments we step out of this body, we step into his presence. And then our spirit goes immediately to him. So Ecclesiastes 12:7 says the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So your body goes into the ground, but your spirit goes home to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I think that is comforting to know that, right?
Yeah. And then we await the resurrection together. Here's where it gets exciting. When Jesus returns, our spirit will reunite with our resurrected
glorified bodies.
Our glorified bodies. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Until then, our spirit is alive, conscious, and with him. And no fear of death. For a Christian, death isn't an end, it's a doorway. Psalm 23:4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The shepherd walks us through the valley. He doesn't leave us to figure it out alone.
Yeah.
Thank God, right?
Yeah, because they said he goes after the one, or he leaves the 99 to go after the one.
So basically, when you die in Christ, you are instantly with Jesus. No delay, no detour.
Yeah.
Just closing eyes here and opening them in the presence of the Lord.
Even if you don't have your glorified body yet.
You're in the presence of the Lord. Yeah, I think that's great. So let's pause and talk for a second about why do you think, and we asked this question last night too, why do you think the resurrection was so controversial in Paul's day?
Well, the Sadducees denied it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Greek philosophy, they loved the idea of the soul living on, but hated the thought of a physical body coming back. Even today, people think resurrection sounds impossible.
Right. And then also, too, it was controversial because the Jews were divided. The Pharisees believed in a future resurrection, but others, like the Sadducees, denied it altogether. So Paul's claim that Jesus had already risen and that this was the beginning of a new creation was radical and disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
And it also challenged political power. So declaring that Jesus rose from the dead was a direct challenge to Roman authority.
Yes.
Jesus was alive and reigning. Caesar wasn't ultimate, which is crazy because back in that time, a lot of the rulers and kings tried to like convince people that they were gods.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is crazy to me. Yeah. But yeah, so that challenged it.
Yeah. So that's good. And honestly, I think it's also controversial today because resurrection forces people and all of us to face accountability, right?
Yeah,
for actions here on earth. If there's no life after death, then it doesn't matter how we live.
Yeah.
Right. There's no, where's your moral compass?
In apologetics, you learn that one of the biggest obstacles for people to convert is that they do not want to be held accountable.
They're dying to themselves right now.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't want to have to follow the rules or be held accountable. They just want to do what they do.
Yeah. Right. And it makes people uncomfortable to do that, right?
Yeah.
It's easier just to say, when we die, we're done. It's it. It's over.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a horrible thought, actually.
Right.
Because we talked a little bit about that last night. Like, then what is this? There's no way the Lord created all this for us just to die and go to the ground and that be it.
Yeah.
I don't believe that
live
at all.
Live in this broken, sad world and then.
Right. But the Bible doesn't leave us that option. And for me, it gives us hope knowing, that we'll rise again. I've lost people I love, and because of the resurrection, I know that I'll get to see them again, and I am so thankful for that. And we also brought up last night, what is a Hinduism that believes in
Oh, I've
reincarnation. You have some on that.
Okay, so reincarnation is the belief that after death, the soul is reborn into a new body, possibly many times. So Hinduism believes in it.
Mm-hmm.
They believe the soul is reborn in different bodies based on karma, mm-hmm. and the goal is to break the cycle through spiritual liberation.
Yeah. Hmm.
Buddhism believes in it, though they don't believe it's a permanent soul. They think that karma influences the form and conditions in which the future lives. Jainism strongly emphasizes reincarnation and karma. Sikhism accepts reincarnation but focuses on union with God. And then this is so interesting. So other traditions with reincarnation beliefs are certain indigenous religions,
mm-hmm.
Native American, Aboriginal, Australian, mystical branches of Judaism.
Wow.
Right. I didn't know that.
I know that.
Like Kabbalah, and it speaks on the soul's journey through multiple lives.
Hmm.
And I did not know that.
No, that's interesting.
And New Age spirituality often blends reincarnation with personal growth and healing. So, yeah.
Interesting.
I was shocked by that. I did not know that any sect of Jewish people believed in that.
Right, right. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the next question. How does believing in the resurrection change the way we live?
So I love that question. How does believing in the resurrection change the way we live? Jesus's resurrection proves he has power over death and that he can mm-hmm. raise us too. So I think that's, he loved us enough, more than enough, to go and
send his son, right, to send his son to die for us,
to die on the cross for our sins, so that we have a chance at everlasting life with him for eternity. And so because we have that, I think that we change the way we live because we want to see him, right? So we want to live a more godly life. We want to love people at their worst. Jesus loves us at our worst every day.
It's true.
And
it anchors our hope.
Yeah.
In something that's unshakable.
Right. I think it helps us face like our struggles and sicknesses and watch people. You know, there was nothing, I don't think, in my life worse than watching my mom go through 7 years of cancer, but knowing that she had a relationship with the Lord helped me through that every single
that
day.
That wasn't the end of her story.
That's right.
Exactly.
Like, I knew that the minute she took her last breath where she was, you know?
I mean, basically, just like our suffering is never wasted.
Yep.
Romans 8:18 says our present sufferings aren't worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us.
Amen.
And we can't even probably we can't even imagine what it is. It's hard.
Yeah. That means even if I'm going through pain right now, there's an end to it.
Yes.
One day I'll have a body that doesn't break down. One day I'll stand in glory with Christ.
Thank the Lord.
So when I face struggles, whether it's sickness, like I said, loss, or even just daily stress, I'm able to push through because I know this isn't permanent. This life is fleeting. The mm-hmm. resurrection shifts my perspective. I don't live just for comfort here. I live with my eyes on eternity.
Yeah. Fixed on the Lord. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So, and it creates urgency. If you truly believed everyone will be raised, both the righteous and the wicked, that means eternity is real, judgment is real, and salvation matters more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And this truth should challenge us every day. We shouldn't be wasting time on meaningless things.
Ooh.
We should love people better, forgive quicker, and we should share Christ with boldness. Because resurrection does mean accountability. People need to know Christ now, and that's why it lights a fire under us, because eternity is on the line.
That's so true, Amy. And for me, I would say courage, but it also gives me peace.
Right.
Knowing that resurrection is guaranteed means I don't have to live in fear of death. Our bodies wear out, of course. Yes, we grieve our loved ones, which we talked about, but I grieve with hope, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that I'll be there and I'll see them again. And the resurrection also tells me that what I do here matters.
Right.
It also tells me what's waiting on the other side is greater than anything I can possibly even imagine, which is freeing. It frees me from the chains that this world binds me in and this world's fear, because we all know fear is from the devil, not from the Lord.
Right.
I can step out in obedience. I do and can take risks for the kingdom. Because I know the worst this world can do is possibly do to me is kill this body, but my spirit and will live on with the Lord, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Christ will raise me. So I just think it gives me boldness, and I try to live unashamed for the Lord.
Revelation 21 verse 4 says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes.
Yes.
There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain."
Thank God.
Yeah, amen to that.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to land on this. The resurrection isn't just about the end of life. It's about how we live now. Eternal perspective. Don't just live for this world. Store up all your treasures in heaven.
Right.
Hope in suffering. This pain is temporary. Glory is eternal. And then urgency. Everyone will rise. Judgment is real. Meaning, so when we mean everyone will rise, it's either in eternal judgment or
right.
sharing, you know, eternal glory with the Lord,
yeah.
right? So that's what we mean by everybody will rise. We certainly will. So here's our challenge. And we talked about this in Bible study. Write down one fear you have about death or eternity. Each day this week, pray over it and claim the words of Jesus.
Let's close with our memory verse. It is John 11, verse 25. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die."
And that's a promise we can cling to. It's not a maybe. It's guaranteed. Death doesn't win. Jesus does.
Exactly. Resurrection is foundational. Jesus rose, and because he lives, we will live also.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us today on Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. Share this episode with someone who needs hope today. And remember, we'll see you right here next Thursday, where we'll recap our Tuesday night Bible study on eternal judgment.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget to go into the Messenger X app and watch the resurrection of the dead lesson, because yes. John Bevere went over a lot of stuff that we didn't, because I think we just had such a great discussion last
right.
night
right.
that we wanted to
get
share
the questions.
That
yeah, absolutely.
Versus what he did. But you can go and watch that anytime.
Yeah, you get a lot of good nuggets from that. So
absolutely. Yeah. So until then,
stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus. Remember, death does not have the final word. Jesus does. Have a great day, and God bless.
Amen.
Amen.